This is Skyline Chili Cincy 360, about Cincinnati, from Cincinnati. Sponsored in part by Skyline Chili. Stop by Skyline Chili for a three-way or cheese coney today. Feeling good? It's Skyline time. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station. Here are James Rapine and Mo Egger.
Good afternoon. It's the Black Friday edition of Cincy 360 presented by Skyline Chili on ESPN 1530. You know, yesterday you ate turkey, you had stuffing, you gorged yourself. You need a change of pace today. Leave the turkey sandwiches for later this weekend. And especially if you're out Black Friday shopping, number one, why? Number two, go to Skyline Chili. Pop in, have a plate of cheese conies. Have a three-way, and by the way, if you're getting a jump start, I guess now it wouldn't be a jump start, but if you're doing your Christmas shopping, what better than a Skyline Chili gift card? You can buy those at any Skyline Chili restaurant, and don't forget, the Crosstown Shootout is just about 2 weeks away. The Skyline Chili Crosstown Shootout basketballs on sale right now at every Skyline Chili restaurant. The supplies are limited, so get them while you can. Oh, we're going to be very honest with you. James is here. We're going to be very, very upfront with you. Okay?
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah, sure.
Just really quick.
Yes, yes.
If anyone wants to send me a parting gift to Cleveland, obviously We have a week or so left together. Yeah. Skyline gift card, that's the request. That's like the registry. You know how you do that for events?
Yeah.
Mine, it only says Skyline gift card, and there is a Skyline in Cleveland. I checked before I agreed to
go
up there.
Okay, great.
That was one of the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one thing. Skyline gift card, that's what
All
I would
right.
love.
And James is begging you for stuff.
Skyline.
We're going to be upfront with you. We have a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about the Bengals some more.
And
we're going to talk about what we would want to buy on Black Friday and what we want to take back. We're going to be very upfront, okay? You're listening to this a little bit after noon on Black Friday. We are taping this a little bit after noon on Wednesday. I'm not even in town. I don't even know where James is. What are you going to be doing?
Right
As
now?
This is airing, besides listening to us, what are you
going
to be doing?
Right now, I'm going to be doing a lot of housework and things to prep for my move.
All right, very good.
So Black Friday for me, it's not shopping. It's packing. It's like Black Friday packing at
Fine.
The Rapine household.
Great, good deal. So we're going to be very upfront. This show was taped on Wednesday, so... I can't tell you what happened in those NFL games that you watched yesterday because they haven't happened yet.
The Bears!
Oh, how about the Saints last night?
Woo!
Oh, man!
But by the way, we can tell you what's going to happen. Drew Brees lit it up last night.
I feel pretty comfortable.
Let's be it. Drew Brees, MVP.
How about the Bears getting 80 hours between games?
It's insane.
It's ridiculous.
It really is.
Anyway, so we're taping. So the reason being, in just in case something happened yesterday of significance, and you're like, I can't wait to hear what Mo and James have to say about it. First of all, no one has ever said that. Number two, you'll have to wait till Monday when we do a fresh new live show for you. But here we are with a tape show as the Bengals get set to take on the Cleveland Browns. And yesterday, you and I were talking about it's a must win, and it is. And they've got to win four of their last six to get to nine wins. It's hard to imagine them doing that if they don't win on Sunday. I think if they win these next two, they're in pretty good shape because you give them more than a puncher's chance against both the Raiders and the Browns, the game in Cleveland. We'll see what happens. Can you imagine, though, the fallout? Cleveland's lost 25 straight away from home. The Bengals have owned them in recent years. The season, it feels like it's slipping away. They're in a very crowded race, a bunch of other mediocre teams for the last wild card spot. Can you imagine what it would feel like if the Bengals lost on Sunday?
Doom. Demise. Jimmy Sandy smiling right now, but because he's a Browns fan. Let's say they lost and it was a 10-point loss, or it felt like the Browns just kind of controlled things the whole way.
Yeah.
I really wonder about Marvin Lewis's future a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I mean, why? You have your coach in waiting.
Yeah.
Hugh's just there.
Yeah.
And like, so to me, it can't happen. It better not happen. I mean, if you're Marvin, and who knows, but I think that the Terrell Austin thing, that move,
mm-hmm.
there's pressure on Marvin.
I agree.
We don't pay attention to it because he's been here for 3,000 years.
Right.
But there's pressure on Marvin that we don't see. And if you lose to the Browns after starting 4-1 and now you're 5-6.
Right.
That might be enough. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a fluke play, something happens, and the Browns somehow pull it out, maybe not. But, man, if they come in and they do what Baltimore did, which is control the game, win time of possession, really kind of handle things outside of a couple turnovers, then that's three straight losses. Your last win was awful. You lost 5 of 6. that might be it.
Yeah, no, I think the fallout from this game would be really, I certainly hope we're not dealing with this. I hope we're talking about the Bengals beating the Browns and, all right, let's discuss the playoff race and are they back in it? What happened to the other teams that are also 5-5 this weekend? But yeah, you're right. I think there's a degree of heat on Marvin Lewis. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. Now, does that mean they have to make the playoffs? I don't know. It's far be it for me or anybody else to get inside Mike Brown's head and determine what his standard is. We were all counting Marvin out a year ago, and that was, even as much as they tried to frame it as Marvin's decision, that was the Bengals changing their mind at the end of the year. But yeah, I mean, I just, the public with this team has never fully embraced it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been bad since losing to Pittsburgh, bad since the Chiefs and Saints debacles, bad last week. If at home you lose to that team, that is still a punchline for a lot of Bengals fans, and frankly, that's on the Browns to change it entirely. You've dominated them. You're at home. Your season is kind of like hanging in the balance. You don't win that game. The if you think it has sounded and felt miserable the last few Mondays, just wait.
We need that from a what we do in our business, we need them to win Sunday.
Absolutely.
Like,
because the season's over if they lose Sunday.
Door slam shut.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy to think, like, go back and listen a month ago to the conversations we were having after that Atlanta game.
Mm-hmm.
Championship window, 4-1. Championship window. I'm wondering about the playoff window.
Right.
And it slams shut, shatters, and is bolted shut if they lose Sunday. And they might. Are you going to be able to tackle Nick Chubb?
Right.
Are you going to be able to stop Baker Mayfield? You couldn't stop Lamar Jackson in his first NFL start.
Right.
Baker Mayfield's way better.
Right.
Miles Garrett, who's blocking him?
Seriously.
I mean, they got some players over there.
Sure.
Denzel Ward is a very talented corner.
There's a reason why the Bengals opened up as only a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, it'd be a pick 'em on the if it was a neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It will be very telling, I think. And we'll talk about Hugh Jackson, I'm sure, and his return and all that stuff.
What is there to say? He's back. Great. I get it. He's a part of the story this week, but all right, fine. He's back. Does he know some things about Baker Mayfield that they might not know without him? Sure. Hugh Jackson had no impact on the game last week.
Here's what.
He doesn't call plays. I can't imagine the Browns are going to be that uber motivated because Hugh Jackson's over there. I mean, it's okay. He's here. Fine. What's next?
What's next is you're going to see if this team's quit on Marvin or not, I think.
Maybe.
If they come out, there's always a game. There's always a game. If they come out flat, if they don't and they come out like they can,
because
I still think they should win this game Sunday. They should win it.
Right.
They come out and play the way I think they can play, then they'll win.
Mm-hmm.
And then things will be fine.
Yeah.
But if they're kind of checked out, it was a holiday week, they're going up against a team that's kind of been surging recently,
right.
had a really good win over Atlanta a couple weeks ago. They're well-rested now coming off of a bye. You come out flat at home in a must-win game, I think that tells you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. So it'll be interesting to see first quarter how they come out.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between coming out flat and just not playing well. Neither are really forgivable in this instance, but I do agree with you. I think you'll have a real good sense of this team's vibe on Sunday early in the game, and you may be able to reflect that on Marvin Lewis. But when your coach is on the hot seat, and we're using that verbiage again with Marvin Lewis, you can't afford a slow start. You can't afford that look, that stale, just sort of, you know, lackadaisical, lethargic look that we identify so much with Marvin Lewis. If you see that, number one, they'll lose. Number two, then, okay, can we finally cut the cord?
Is Hugh Jackson the guy?
Yes.
Like, in the future, sure, but if you cut the cord Monday, does Hugh Jackson just slide in and become head coach?
Probably.
That's crazy.
Probably.
I mean, think about it. He wasn't here 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So
has that ever happened in the history of the NFL where someone was a head coach in the same season for two different teams?
And Jimmy brought this up too. Then who would be the defensive coordinator?
Oh, Jim Haslett.
Haslett would just slide in.
Yeah.
And I know he's helping Marvin anyway.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think it has happened. And
do I think that
would be good for the Browns, by the way, because then the Bengals would have to pay Hugh Jackson to be the coach.
Yeah.
There's got to be something contractually where they wouldn't.
I'd be surprised if Mike did that to Marvin. Mm-hmm. I would be, if he was going to let him finish out the string last year, he's going to let him finish out the string this season. If moving on from Marvin Lewis is on Mike Brown's radar, and I don't know that it is or isn't, but if it is, I find it hard to believe. And look, he's made in-season coaching moves before. Dave Shula blown out 8 weeks in, Bruce Coslett blown out 3 games in, but he let LeBeau finish. He was going to let Marvin finish. Now the difference being, last year's season kind of spiraled out of control early, got off to an 0-3 start. Mm-hmm. The Shula year, they moved on from him. I think they were 1-7, maybe 1-6, but 1-7. Coslett, they had just lost 37-0, and they were 0-3. And so you were like, all right, fine, we got to do something. It wasn't like, you know what, we can figure out a way to steer this back on course, and maybe they would look at changing head coaches after 11 games in an effort to steer things back on course. But, again, we're trying to predict what Mike Brown is going to do, which is an exercise in futility. But I would find it really hard to believe if they did move on from Marvin that they wouldn't just make Hugh the head coach. And then Haslett can run the defense and, you know, whatever. I think that would be the scenario. But, again, predicting what Mike Brown would do, who knows? Who knows? I have a hard time believing that for a coach who has served under him for 15 and a half years that he would just cut him loose very unceremoniously with 5 games remaining.
Yeah, I get it. And it's just, to me, that's what I think some organizations would do.
Sure,
but I agree. I always lean Marvin staying.
What so some organizations would do, I mean,
correct.
Is Marvin here after 15 and a half years of not winning a playoff game?
No. Nope.
Right. So
he's Mo. I'm James. This is Cincy 360, a Black Friday edition. Mo, what would you wait in line for to buy at a department store today?
Like an actual product?
Yes.
Wait in line? There's really nothing I'll wait in
TV?
Line for. No, not really.
Really good TV?
No.
Video games?
No. There's nothing.
Clothes?
There's nothing I'll wait.
Shoes?
No. There's nothing
Hat?
I'm waiting in line for. No.
Sports memorabilia?
No.
Oh, Bruce Springsteen's autograph?
I did that once.
Yeah.
Would
you do
that.
It again?
No. I got it. Got my picture. I'm okay. And that line, I mean, he was there for an hour. It moved. I mean, they told you, look, get in line. You're going to be done in 5 minutes. Like, it moved. That's the last line I've waited in, and probably the last line I will wait in.
Did you, like, make sure you were looking really good for this picture? Like, did you, like...
No, I look nothing? Terrible in it.
Really?
Yeah, I look terrible in it. That's the last time I waited in line. I'm not waiting. I waited in line for tickets to the 19...
I just know that's a big moment for you.
It was. The 1995 National League Championship Series, I waited in line.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I waited in line for tickets to something, and then I waited in line for Bruce's autograph. Other than that, I'm not waiting in line.
As a kid, I waited in line for Reds Fest.
I waited in line for Jeff Blake's autograph.
I waited in line for Pete Rose's autograph.
Mm.
You know that celebrity softball game where
yeah.
they had to put up drapes on all the MLB stuff because Pete Rose is in the building?
So
that was so weird. Yeah, I was at that, and I got his autograph and Mike Schmidt's autograph.
That's cool. That's
got to talk
that's
to both
cool.
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I waited in line there. I'm trying to think.
If
outside of autographs as a kid,
I
yeah,
will
you're
wait
right.
in line to take my kid to see Santa Claus.
What about, like, Kings Island?
Now, see, here's where I depart from my whole don't wait in line thing. My rub against Kings Island is they've made waiting in line kind of a caste system now. Now you can buy the fast pass or the gold pass or whatever it is. You don't have to wait in line. And to me, riding a roller coaster, riding an amusement park ride, you should have to wait in line just like everybody else.
I agree
with
that.
You shouldn't be able to pay your way. But like to me, like Kings Island, you go there thinking, I'm going to wait in line. And then there's the fun of people watching and watching teenagers grope on each other and all that. That's mm-hmm. that's a part of the experience. That I will do, but what I don't like about it is Rich Boy can buy a pass where he can go to the front. I don't like that. But I also don't go to Kings Island ever, probably in large part because I'd have to wait in line. So I'm kind of contradicting myself.
Yeah, the past couple times I've went, it's been for like events.
Right.
So there's not many people in the park, so there's not many lines. So
yeah.
it's been wonderful. So I couldn't imagine go and wait in, you know, 3 hour
I just,
line.
I'm never waiting in line to buy something. My time to me is very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
If it's wait in line, pay less, or no line, pay more, I'll go no line.
In college, I didn't wait in line outside, but I went out Black Friday shopping. And I was shocked I could afford it. I never had a big screen TV in my life. And I waited in the little line that said, here's the 50-inch screen TV for whatever price it was. It was such a good deal, though. So I had a big screen TV because I bought it on Black Friday.
That's cool. That's fine.
I was so excited.
To each their own. If your thing
but I wasn't outside in the cold with a tent.
If that's your thing, fine, whatever.
Also a decade ago.
Yeah, I'm not waiting in line. I mean, like I've driven past like bars downtown in the like January cold, and you'll see people waiting outside to be let in, and it's like, dude, you can get a drink anywhere, man. Mm-hmm. What are you doing waiting in line?
I agree with you.
How do you
feel about cover charges?
I do not go to bars that have cover charges unless I know the band excellent.
Like a high-end band where you know where your money's going, essentially.
If the money is to cover the band and I know the band is legit, then I'll pay a cover. But like cover charge to go watch a football game or something, zero chance.
Sunday, by the way.
Holy Grail will never have a cover charge.
I love going
there. That's their pledge.
Love going there. I went there, had some friends in town for this past New Year's, and they wanted to go out. And normally, you know, you stay in on New Year's, but you go out. And I'm like, okay, we'll go out. Went to Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was awesome. By the way, speaking of watching games and at the bar, you will be watching the game Sunday.
Barleycorns, and we don't do home game watch parties all that often, but we're doing one on Sunday for the Browns game. 1 o'clock, where you can win a pair of Bengals tickets, 650 Bud Light 48-ounce pitchers, and you can hang out with me.
It sounds like heaven.
It really is. Me on a Sunday, that is absolutely heaven.
He's Mo. I'm James. This is a Black Friday edition of Cincy 360. We will continue this awesome sports talk conversation next on ESPN 1530.
Now, Cincy 360 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
This is the Skyline Chili Cincy 360 show. I'm James Erpine. He's Mo Egger. Happy Black Friday to you. Why do they call it that?
Because that's when stores go from being in the red to being in the black.
Is that really it?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know. Okay.
Retailers have traditionally really looked at a day like today as a day that we can really turn our year around. They've maybe been operating in the red all year
long.
That
makes sense.
Then they have a huge holiday season. It puts them in the black. They make a profit.
Yeah. I see now.
You know what? If you read a newspaper occasionally, you learn these things.
Yeah. Now, newspapers. What are those? I'm a millennial, Mo. What's a newspaper?
Just saying, you know, if you ever read something besides a sports blog, you could actually learn
sports
something.
Sports blog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just keep it. You know where I read every day? ESPN1530.com/Mo. Well,
you're not learning anything about Black Friday or anything else there.
Why the hell aren't you writing about Black Friday then? I can learn these things. You could do fun facts with Mo.
Good.
And it's just all these things I need to know.
By the way, that Black Friday thing, I just made it up.
Dude, I have no idea.
I believe that's the reason why.
Where did Black Friday come from?
I think retailers operated in the black starting with the holiday season, so it saved their year. So up until then, they were operating in the red. Now Black Friday. So there you go.
Let's see. The earliest evidence of the phrase Black Friday applied to the day after Thanksgiving in shopping context suggests that the term originated in Philadelphia, where it was used to describe the heavy and disruptive pedestrian and vehicle traffic that would occur on the day after Thanksgiving.
That's not where Black Friday came from.
I'm not saying it is.
That's not where the term Black Friday came from.
Let's see.
This is riveting. James looking up stuff on the radio.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Hey, I was just trying to figure it out.
We're all going to miss this, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Anyways, let's dive into it. Black Friday means a lot of people are waiting in line for stuff. Let's wait in line for what? What would you wait in line for as a sports fan, as a Cincinnati sports fan?
To buy?
Yep.
Starting pitching.
That's on my list, too.
Starting pitching. I hope that's what Dick Williams is doing today, waiting in line on Black Friday, buying starting pitching. Now, typically, Black Friday, you're taking advantage of great deals. Starting pitching costs a lot of money. You're not going to get a lot of great deals, especially now. But if there's anything I would buy for Cincinnati sports, it would be for the Reds to have starting pitching. Not one guy, four or five of them, starting pitching. That's what I'd buy.
Jimmy says you're right, by the way, on the whole Black Friday thing.
I know.
So there you go. You know. You didn't really know. You kind of knew.
I did know.
I'm so confused. Either way, I'm with you on the starting pitching. That's what the Reds, by the way, the Reds have to buy that. That's what they're going to have to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they have to use assets for it or whether it's just money, whether it's a trade, whatever, that's what they have to do. And I'd say 2 to 3 starting pitchers.
Yeah.
That they have to bring in. And you hope one or two guys,
yes,
Luis Castillo, et cetera, surfaces right and comes up big.
The overall organizational goal of being better at developing starting pitching hasn't changed, but the short-term focus of we have to get better on the mound has certainly changed. It's the cornerstone of this offseason. The tide will turn for this team when they get starting pitching. Until then, they'll be stuck in the mid-90s when, in terms of losses. That's what I would buy first and foremost.
Yeah.
Starting pitching.
Yeah, you know what I would buy?
Please tell me.
A quarterback. And look, Andy Dalton's fine. He's not great. He's not bad. He is what he is. But we cannot, and it's just, you think if the Chargers are without their top wide receiver, they think, oh, that's an L.
No.
When A.J. Green doesn't play, going in, you're like, ah, can Andy survive without A.J. Green? I'm tired of that. Like, that is the worst. Back when Chad Johnson, who I think had a better stretch at least and is probably the best Bengals wide receiver ever, back when Chad Johnson was here, if he was out for a game,
mm-hmm,
couldn't Carson stay afloat?
Yes.
Couldn't Carson still be a really good quarterback?
Yes.
Andy Dalton can't.
Right.
So I want a new quarterback. That's what I want. And I know there's much worse than Andy Dalton. There's also much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be stuck in this, oh, well, you could be much worse or you could be much. No, go try to find something better. So if I had to wait in line in the cold, in the snow, heck, in Cleveland where it's much colder and much snowier, I would do it if it meant the Bengals could get a new quarterback.
Did you just go with snowier?
Snowier.
Snowier. I would buy Sean McVay. That's what I would buy.
Yes.
I would buy young, innovative, brash, out there, forward-thinking, cutting-edge head coach. I'll take my chances with the quarterback they have, although I'd love a 2-for-1. If I can get maybe a BOGO. Hey, buy Sean McVay, get a quarterback with him, maybe even a Jared Goff, I would certainly do it. That to me is the bigger deal. And nothing against what you just said, because I'd love another quarterback. I'd love a new quarterback, but I see around the NFL innovation, I see creativity, mm-hmm, I see forward thinking, I see aggressiveness, and I see those things winning. I don't get those things with Marvin Lewis. The obvious example is Sean McVay, but there's many others. Sean Payton is not as young. Sean Payton is exactly that. Andy Reid is exactly that. Matt Nagy is exactly that. Bill Belichick is exactly that. In many respects, not all, Mike Tomlin is exactly that. I want those characteristics here. Those start with the owner. I can't buy a new owner. I'm buying a new coach. I'm buying a new coach who's like Sean McVay. If I could clone him, that's who it would be.
That's fair. I'm with you. And I think when you want to get young and innovative like that, that young, innovative guy, he'd rather coach Baker Mayfield than Andy Dalton.
Probably.
He'd rather coach the young, promising quarterback, too. But no, I'm 100% with you. Nagy is the blueprint.
But that young, innovative coach would rather work for Mike Brown than Jimmy Haslam.
Sure. But no doubt about I would assume so. But the point is I would love to get young, innovative with young.
Yes. Oh, sure.
You know,
yes.
Young, promising quarterback.
That's where the Browns are interesting.
I want the duo. And if we could do the BOGO, I don't even need buy one, get one. I'll pay double.
Mm.
I'll wait in line twice as long.
Well, you're not paying double on Black Friday.
Okay.
That's the advantage of Black Friday.
You can get in line for the coach. I'll get in line for the quarterback. We'll circle back.
Done.
Black Friday done here on ESPN.
Done.
That's how you do it. You need two items at the store. That's how you do it. And
wow.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? What could they? Seriously, I wonder what they could have gotten for Andy Dalton last year.
Not much because the quarterback market was flooded with draft picks and free agents.
What do you think about this year?
This year's different. There's no glutton of free agents. At the same time, how many of those guys have paid off?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Kirk Cousins has been all right.
He's been fine.
Right.
And that's what Andy is, by the
right?
way. He's Kirk.
Case Keenum forgotten about 5 minutes later. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the market's different. The draft is different. I think that, and you get him for 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be fascinating. I think, but the Bengals aren't in a position where they want to hit the reset button. They're not going to be drafting early. But that, you're right about that. I'd love to see what his value is. Team-friendly deal, doesn't cost all that much. There's not a bunch of other free agents out there. The draft class isn't as good. But if you do that, you're hitting the reset button. I'd be okay with that. Would they?
Would the Jaguars be willing to give up multiple picks?
No.
You don't think so?
Would they look at Andy Dalton as a significant upgrade from Blake Bortles?
I think so, because he doesn't have the floor. Blake Bortles can cost you 8,000 games.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton doesn't cost you anything. He just doesn't win
Blake
you a bunch.
Bortles has also won playoff games.
That's true. That's true. He played well last year. Let's continue. What would you wait in line to buy? I would love to buy Mick Cronin offense. I'd wait in line for that. And whether that's him being more aggressive on offense or getting him another weapon, another offensive player, whatever it is, I would love this because he can coach defense. I think he could coach defense and get teams that aren't good defensively to play pretty good defense. He's not going to be able to do that with offense. We've seen it time and time again, and it just feels like it's the same thing every year after year with the Bearcats, and I know they lost a lot. It's not just this season. It's in general. You can't always win 50-48.
Yeah.
So I would love some offense for the Bearcats.
I'd buy him a guy that can create his own offense.
Fair.
I look, could he X and O better? Sure, fine. What he hasn't had, and he had last year with Jacob Evans, but by and large, throughout the course of his time at UC, there have been very few guys who could break a guy down off the dribble, draw a help defender, drop a dime to an open teammate. There have been very few guys who could shake a defender and hit an open jump shot. Very few guys able and willing to slash to the basket and collapse a defense on his own. Very few guys deadly in the open court. A lot of people have said he's got to get a spot-up shooter. Yeah, that'd be great. It'd be great because then you take away team's ability to zone you. What I'd love to see him get, though, is somebody who could create a zone, who at the end of a shot clock, you could say, we don't have to heave up a 30-footer. This dude can go on his own, improvise, create for himself, create for one of his teammates. If they got someone like that, first of all, you'd see some of these other guys really, really get better almost instantly. He hasn't really had that, even though he had Jacob Evans. Jacob, as good of a player as he was, and he was fantastic, wasn't always aggressive. I think sometimes was a little too willing to defer. And he would actually be the first to tell you that. I'd love to see him get someone who says, you know what, I'm not going to defer. I will, but I'm going to go, I'm just going to figure out a way to create some offense. I'm going to try to create it for myself first, and then in line, I'll be able to create opportunities for other people. Do it in the half court, do it in the open court. If Mick got that, this team this year and others that he has had would take significant step forward.
Was Kane Broome supposed to be that guy?
I don't know, because all I heard was, well, you get the ball in his hands, and they're going to change the tempo with which they play, and he's going to create opportunities. And then he got here, and it's like, well, he's a two guard. It's like, okay, that may be, but then this whole thing about how he's going to change the tempo, got to have the ball in his hands. Justin Jennifer's not that guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's, you just wonder, because I kind of thought that it felt like that Kane Broome was supposed to.
A year ago at this time, I had people telling me that Kane Broome was like Nick Van Exel.
I didn't think that.
I had people tell, oh, you know what, he reminds me of Nick Van Exel, and I go, is there another Nick Van Exel that I haven't seen? Because I watch Nick Van Exel play, and nothing against Kane. Kane ain't no Nick Van Exel.
Yeah.
And Mo Egger ain't using no good language. I tell you what I'd buy.
Is he Kenny Satterfield?
Boy, Kenny, I'm never sure we really got to see how good Kenny could be.
I think Kenny was better, too. I agree.
I would buy UC a new league. Central Florida is undefeated. Central Florida will go undefeated, won't compete for a championship. Nothing against what the program has done this year. That could happen to a school in your league back-to-back seasons. What's that going to do for keeping coaches, recruiting kids? This league, as good as the Bearcats have been, can you name the coaches, the football coaches in the American Athletic Conference?
No.
Can you name the basketball coaches in the American Athletic Conference? It's UC has done as well as they possibly can. They got a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. They're going to go to a bowl game this year. The league still, you talk about like the excitement factor. Do people get excited for UCF basketball?
No.
And they might be the best team in the league.
No, I was thinking about them, trying to think about who was on the team. No.
Right. They might be the best team in the league. Now, Penny Hardaway is doing great things at Memphis recruiting-wise. We'll find out if he can coach. I'm a big Danny Hurley guy. He's at UConn. So the better programs in the league basketball-wise may get better, but it's still a league of just a really hard to distinguish from another bunch of schools. There's no rivalries. There's just no emotional connection to any of these teams, any of these players, and it's not changing anytime soon. But if I'm Black Friday shopping, I'm buying a new league.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. And you do wonder that. UCF is not getting in. Do you think they're getting in the college football playoff?
If like everybody lost, if
everybody
lost, that would mean, you know, Ohio State, Michigan winner loses to Northwestern, Oklahoma falls apart. I mean, a lot of things would have to happen. And like I see both sides of it because I don't think UCF is one of the best four teams, and the whole strength of schedule thing is a factor. So I don't yell and scream about their plight. At the same time, it would be hypocritical to not empathize as a fan of a non-Power 5 school, to not empathize with them winning every game and not being able to play for the whole thing. You could say, well, you should expand the playoff, blah, blah, blah. Look, they're always going to steer things towards the power conferences. That's always going to happen. I'd like to be able to say, at least theoretically, that UC, do what you got to do. You're going to be playing for a national championship, and you can't say that in the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you think if they win their bowl game, whatever it is, let's say they go undefeated, win their bowl game, do you think that they're going to say they're back-to-back national champions?
Of course they will. They said that on College Game Day.
Did they say it?
Yes, oh, okay. Of course they will.
You were there. So, okay.
Yeah, of course they will. And I have no problem with that.
Back-to-back.
I have no problem. They have it on their press notes. They have it on their press box. They gave out rings. They had a national championship parade. Of course they will. And I would do the same thing.
It was in their press box?
It's on the top of their press box. If you're in the stands looking at it, it says 2017 national champions. If you read their game notes, when they refer to last season, they refer to last year's national championship team. Of course they'll do it. And I don't really have a huge problem with it, but it does, every time you mention it, it points out we really can't play for a national title. And as much as we want these coaches to stay, we want them to get the best players in this league, they want to play. They want a chance to play for titles, and you don't get that in this league.
He's Mo Egger. I'm James Rapine. This is Cincy 360. It's a Black Friday edition. We are just being upfront with you. We are recording this on a Wednesday.
It's 104 on Wednesday.
104. The sun is shining. Hopefully you are still full from yesterday, and if not, check out Skyline. All right, so that was what we would wait for in line to buy. What would you wait in line to return? Can I start?
Yes.
All right. Here's the first. I have a question to start with. Do receipts work 16 years later?
No, there's usually 90 days or 6 months.
All right, well, I need a 16-year return policy because Marvin Lewis, for all of the good, and there's plenty of good,
The
equity's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Built up, gone.
Right.
I get it. I remember 02. I watched every game in 02. Mm-hmm. It was awful. Marvin Lewis changed the culture. I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm 27 now, and he's still here, and they're 5-5. So I would return Marvin Lewis, roll the dice again, and see what you could bring in. So that's something I'd return.
I think you have everybody listening to us right now nodding along. Yes, I would take the entire 16 years back, and I would go back in time, and I would say, T. Coughlin, who was also up for the job, let's see what you could have done.
Yeah, what could you do with, guess who? Carson Palmer.
Right.
Heisman Trophy winner, right. First overall.
Right. Maybe nothing. Maybe worse. Maybe better. Maybe I have no idea, but I'd love to find out.
Is Carson Palmer worse than Eli Manning?
From a pure like skill set? No, Carson's better.
That's what's
now,
interesting.
Now, there were, until the Giants went in an 07, people were like, boy, Coughlin's underachieving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was
and
the
even
thing.
Then, they won 9 games and got hot.
Yeah.
To 9 or 10 wins.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I don't know what the answers are, but yes, this has been, I mean, if you look at this tenure, people said last year, well, it's a combination of successes and failures. There's successes included, but the overwhelming tenure has been a failure. And if they don't get to the playoffs this year, I think that's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even talking about winning a playoff game. I think it's a step, a necessary step to get to the playoffs for this bunch. But if you don't do that 16 years in, that is a failure. I'm a big believer if you take something back, take back in bulk, right?
Oh, man.
Especially if the receipt kind of has an open-ended policy.
Mm-hmm.
I would put in a box, Preston Brown and A.J. Hawk and James Harrison and Kevin Minter and Carlos Dansby and all these washed-up linebackers they bring in that every March I have to hear these football heads telling me, oh, this guy, here's what he does. Okay, what does he do? Well, you know, he's not really going to cover. Okay, and then what's he going to do? Well, he's not really a guy that you're going to blitz with. All right. Then what's going to happen? Well, they get a lot of tackles. Okay, cool.
9 yards downfield.
I want to take all those guys, put them in a box, give a receipt, and then have a new policy. We're not buying any more one-year rental washed-up free agent linebackers. They never work. Invest in the position.
Yeah.
Okay?
Go get a real free agent.
Invest in the position. How about draft somebody high?
That's true, but do both.
Haven't done it in 10 years, or go pay for someone in free agency. Stop with the Preston Browns and the A.J. Hawks and these. Stop! They don't work here!
By the way, if you're looking for a one-year deal, don't go to the Bengals.
No.
It's clearly not working.
Right. So
all of those guys ended up retiring soon after.
Yes.
Most of them.
Everybody but James Harrison, right?
Yeah. Hawk.
Yeah, Carlos Dansby hung around for another year.
Another year.
Right.
I mean, Kevin Minter
right.
got signed by Tampa Bay for about 5 days. He's only 27.
I'd rather watch Rick Minter play. No, put all these guys in a box and take them back. No more crappy one-year rental linebackers.
I'm with you. And you know what else I want to take back? Everything I said about the Bengals' defensive line. They've been literally, that's the biggest surprise to me is how
Agreed.
They've underperformed. I said this on yesterday's show. According to ESPN's NFL matchups, they're generating pressure 24% of the time. It's worst in the NFL.
Absurd.
And it's just, it cannot be that bad. I thought they were going to be really, really good, and I get it, Carl Lawson went down. But even before that, he was leading the team in pressures,
mm-hmm.
and he had one sack.
Yep.
They've underachieved all season long. So I take back everything I said. I wish I could, because by God, was I wrong.
I would take back the Homer Bailey contract.
Oh.
The Homer Bailey experience.
We worked together the day that was that
Homer time. Bailey. Take back Homer Bailey. He's still here. He's still a part of the team. He's going to be at Reds Fest. I have no idea why. Move on. Take back Homer Bailey.
And if I'm Homer Bailey,
huh?
I'd want that to happen.
Yes!
Like, if you're Homer Bailey, don't you want a fresh start?
Fresh start. Change of scenery, all that cliched stuff, 1,000%.
Yeah, it matters. I'm with you 100% there. Absolutely. Any other ones real quick?
That's pretty much it for me. Those are my big ones.
I think some people would say they would want to take back John Ross. Would you?
No. I'd want to take back Cedric Obwehi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take back John Ross. I want to use John Ross. I want to see what he can do, and the yeah. Bengals don't do that.
Which means I would take back Bill Lazor.
No.
It was a complete setup. I can't believe he set me up, too, by the way, because the first five games this year had Andy Dalton playing well, and I was like, wow, Bill Lazor, he's smart, and he's being innovative, and he's doing things, and he's putting Andy Dalton in a position to succeed, and then a couple guys go down, and he forgets what a screen pass is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell. Like, is he watched the NFL anywhere? Anytime he seems like a really nice guy, I'd take him back. He's like Ken Zampezi.
The differences are there, yes. You know, I heard it a lot this offseason of how great Bill Lazor's playbook was going to be. It doesn't look like it's that different than the one that Ken Zampezi used.
Same one. He's Mo. I'm James. This is a Black Friday edition of Cincy 360. Quick hits are next on ESPN 1530.
Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
Skyline Philly, Cincy 360 show continues on ESPN 1530. It's the Black Friday edition. We are taping this on Wednesday. So hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a great Black Friday. And you know what? If you're out and about today, or maybe this weekend, you got a long weekend in front of you, you've done enough cooking, you've eaten enough turkey. Stop in a Skyline Chili, grab a plate of cheese conies, how about a three-way, and don't forget, gift cards available, plus the annual Skyline Chili Crosstown Shootout Basketball. The game is almost 2 weeks away, so when it's shootout time, it's Skyline time. It's time for Quick Hits.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Quick Hits is a service of Rumkey Restoration. If you have water damage or need your carpets clean, maybe a flooded basement has left a mess, go to RumkeyRestores.com. Mo, later today, it is UC and Luke Fickell's football Bearcats against ECU as they're going to get their 10th victory.
15 seniors saying goodbye, including a number of them who have had very, very good seasons. Luke Fickell earlier this week talked about this game last year kind of being the team's low point. You know, if you remember, they went there, they fell behind 21-0 against a dreadful ECU team. This is an opportunity to get a 10th win. That is not insignificant. It's an opportunity for the type of season they haven't had since 2012, and it's an opportunity to sort of reverse what happened last year against ECU, who, by the way, in that game last year, they had a quarterback by the name of Gardner Minshew,
mm-hmm.
who's now a Heisman Trophy candidate at Washington State. That dude carved up Cincinnati for ECU.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to go to Alabama, then he went to Washington State. People laughed at UC for getting carved up by that quarterback. Now he's on fire. He's the hottest thing in college football. He's got the weird mustache. And he might be in New York as a Heisman Trophy finalist. He's not going to win the award. But pretty remarkable given the guy that anonymously did what he did to UC last year.
Later today, a game you will be watching, UC George Mason.
UC and George Mason. This
basketball.
Is back-to-back games, Cincinnati in a tournament in Niceville. The Cats played well against Western Michigan on Monday. Let's see if they can build upon that. It's all about Jaron Cumberland. They're playing better competition. Next couple of weeks are going to be interesting. Two neutral site games. They go to Vegas, the NKU game at home, and then the shootout. So not as a collaboration, the toughest group of opponents. XU's got problems right now. But I do think in the next 2 weeks we'll learn a lot about Mick Cronin's team.
Yeah, I think so too. Ohio State, Michigan tomorrow. I'm rolling with the Buckeyes. Everyone's counting them out, and I get it, but Michigan has yet to beat Big Brother. I'm sticking with the Buckeyes.
I am, too. And look, I get it. Close game against Maryland, close game against Michigan State, close game against Nebraska. They got blown out by Purdue. You mentioned it earlier this week. This has that Bengals-Steelers feel to it where it's like, oh, you know what? This might be the time. No, until I see Michigan beat Ohio State in Columbus, I will believe that Ohio State will beat Michigan in Columbus. I think it's a great game and a close game, but I think the Buckeyes win.
Tiger versus Phil. Who you got?
I'm going to go Tiger just based on what I saw this year, especially at the end of the season. This is a huge cash grab, and that's okay. I have no problem with it. I wish it was put at a better time in the calendar.
Yeah.
And I get it. The golf season only gives you so many holes. It's a big college football day. College basketball is happening. We're in the middle of an NFL season. I'm just not a November golf guy, and I'm not paying money to watch it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's true. You got to pay to do that. By the way, Tiger's trash talk on SVP. On SportsCenter.
Very good.
It's good.
I love it.
I've been in his head for 18 years.
I want more of that from Tiger.
I'm pretty sure he was on Van Pelt. I forget what it was.
I think he was, yes. I think the clip I saw, I believe it was with the
SVP. Hilarious. Yeah. He's Mo. I'm James. That's going to do it for us. Have a great rest of your Black Friday. Have a great weekend. And it'll be Bengals pep rally later today at 3:05. Thanks so much for listening today on ESPN 1530.